Lori, we are back with another episode of the Travel Vertical Podcast, a winter episode of the Travel Vertical Podcast.
Yeah, woot woot, you know, Christmas and everything's happening already.
Yes, didn't we just finish one holiday, now we're getting ready for another?
Yes, and we also finished one COVID year, and we're getting ready for another.
Oh boy, aren't we.
So I think I was listening to the radio this morning, and, you know, it's... we're getting to the, you know, second anniversary, like, you know, this is the second Thanksgiving and the second Christmas that we've been dealing with this. And, you know, everyone's getting real, real tired of it.
Well, yeah, we're getting tired of it. And boy, every time you think there's an end in sight, now we got Omicron to worry about.
Yes. Well, we're going to be able to report the latest in the travel vertical this week. And it will give us updates from what American travelers are thinking, because the sentiment surveys that are regularly done by our friends at Destination Analysts and at Longwoods International have been updated for the week of December 13. So very current information on what people are thinking and what people are doing for this holiday season. And we'll supplement that with any information that we can get from Arrivalist and the other vendors on, you know, what road trips are forecasted to be and what we're looking at also on air travel. But there are people postponing and there are people canceling at the moment.
Well, Lori, that's interesting. Let's dive in a little bit to the data. What did you see as you were doing some of that research, especially from Longwoods?
Well, what we see is that looking at those two major surveys that are done, that, you know, it's one of them's done a word cloud, which I'll reproduce. I mean, the words, you know, in the word cloud are, you know, the responses that people give the most often. And of course, they're worried, they're scared, they're concerned, they're annoyed, you know, they're unsure and they're bored.
Yeah, you know, that annoyed, it'll be interesting to see how big that word is on the word cloud. Because I just traveling, I've had to travel for work in the last couple of weeks, and people seem more annoyed in the airport, on the plane. It's kind of fascinating to watch it as you go.
Yeah, fascinating, but, you know, pretty annoying, pretty upsetting as well. So trip plans and bookings are off. You know, this Omicron variant has impacted travel in some way. You've got about, in one study, 37% of the group saying they've canceled an upcoming trip, 47% saying they postponed.
Wow, those are big, big numbers.
Yeah, they're not small. So, you know, there's a decreasing sense of normalcy.
Yeah, you know, well, Will came on my podcast. Will from Connect Travel came on my podcast, and I'm talking about the Destination Marketing podcast, a year ago, and said, guys, if you're looking for normal, normal will never be what normal was ever again. And I think we're kind of seeing that. I mean, every time we kind of think we're dropping into some state of normalcy, something new happens. And so I think one of the things that has stood out to me is resiliency and being nimble have been two of the major attributes that any organization needs in order to be successful during a time like this.
Yes, quite right. I think also, you know, people have financial concerns. And that, in fact, has another survey shows us that that's inched up 5% in the last couple of months.
Yeah, I think people can feel the inflation that's happening and feel the, you know, impending challenges, I think, from a longer term COVID effect. And it makes sense that people would be a little hesitant and a little concerned. And maybe on that note, we probably ought to dive into what we think that might mean for destinations, right? Because that's who's listening to our show and or at least a large part of who's listening to our show. With all this new concern, how should destinations feel, react, act in
well,
a time like this?
You know, I think to stick with your point about things we learned, you know, through this pandemic, and one of those, you know, larger issues that we have learned, of course, is the importance of community. So in, you know, residents and community and local businesses. And, you know, just sticking with that point for one moment on these surveys, that one of the good news things that's come out of this week's surveys is 68% of holiday season travelers do plan to visit friends and relatives. So, you know, that looks a lot better than it did in 2020 before the vaccine. And so people are saying, yes, I'm vaccinated. Are you? And if that's the case, they no longer have to say, I can't see you. You know, we can't sit around the table together. So, you know, look at that. 68% of them still saying, you know, that they will visit friends and relatives. It may not be so good for the hotels, but, you know, it's still good for the destinations. And it still highlights how important it is that, you know, residents have strong positive sentiments about where they live.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what you mentioned about that 68% of travelers saying they're going to go see friends and family during the holidays, I think that is some good news for our destination listeners to play off of. The question is, how are you going to capture those visitors, those travelers, and message effectively to them? And you know, one of the things that I think is interesting that you mentioned to me as we're planning out the Travel Vertical show is that there's a lot of funding coming through the CARES Act. Do you want to talk about that a little bit, Lori, about what you saw there?
So, of course, Adam, on that front, yes, over the last month, there have been two separate announcements from the U.S. Secretary of Commerce, and that is on the states and territories that are receiving funding. So, you know, these funds are part of the EDA $750 million American Rescue Plan that is targeted for travel, tourism, and outdoor recreation. And it includes $510 million in state tourism grants. So what happened was there were a batch of them that were announced in November to 24 states and territories. And we can list them out here in the Travel Vertical. And then last week, another batch of 34 states and the District of Columbia, another $314 million in the second batch. So what that now means is that all 59 states and territories are on the list for the CARES Act, and they're going to be using their grants in different ways, but all of them on marketing programs to draw tourists back.
Wow. Yeah, that's big news. And that should definitely help a lot of these destinations that are struggling. Where can people, I guess, in the Travel Vertical is where they can go to learn kind of the details of that. And you've got links in there to learn more?
Yes, I'll have a list of those dates and a few sentences about how some of the interesting programs are going to be using those grants to integrate tourism to their community.
Well, and I know that's not just DMOs that need to go check that out. I know we have a lot of listeners from different organizations that support tourism and especially digital marketers that listen. So everybody needs to go check that out, because if whether you're a destination and you're going to benefit from that, or you're an organization that serves destinations, you need to be aware of these programs. So make sure to check it out in the travelvertical.com.
Yeah. And then lastly, of course, Adam, there's the trickle down, you know, so if the funds are allocated to the state travel department, then, you know, that in turn is allocated out to many of the DMOs and the CVBs.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's good stuff. Anything else you want to cover there? Or do we need to get into jobs and people on the move?
Well, that doesn't seem to stop, does it? So we're looking,
no.
Yeah. We're looking at another big batch of that. So we could talk about some of the highlights in the latest job openings and jobs filled as well.
Let's do it.
So, yes, one of the 50 state travel directors now has a new appointment. So Connecticut has a new director, Noel Stevenson, who is joining from the Greater Fort Lauderdale Convention and Visitors Bureau, where she's been since 2010. That, in fact, is a position that was open since April or May of this year when Randy Fivesh retired and then kind of didn't retire because he ended up as the interim president and CEO at Fayetteville Area Convention and Visitors Bureau in North Carolina. But Noel is coming into the Connecticut job in Hartford, and Noel's is fluent in an impressive six languages. And I'm stuttering over just the one language here, but fluent in six. And she's also been at the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau in the past. So
a big hire.
Big hire. I mean, considering there are only 50 states, these things don't change too often. And then from your neck of the woods, Adam, you might know a fellow called Jim Powell. He was vice president of marketing communications at Visit Park City in Utah.
You know what? I hadn't met Jim.
Well, Jim is on his way back to his home state of Michigan after spending quite a few years in Utah. And he's the new executive director of a place in Michigan that's called Petoskey.
Okay.
Do you know that area?
Petoskey, Michigan. No, I do not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they had a retirement of a gentleman who'd been in that job for 36 years. And now Petoskey's found Jim. And that was a search that I noticed went on for quite a number of months, but that's now filled.
Wow. And before we leave Utah, I'll just say I saw this morning that they're looking for a chief marketing and brand officer at Visit Salt Lake. And considering all the rebrand work they've just done, that would be a really interesting job to jump into.
Oh, super, super interesting. So if you were looking at those kind of jobs, yes, there are. You know, I've started a new tag on these jobs because they've gotten up to like 200 per week. And I'm having trouble, you know, keeping track of them all and making sure I don't write the same job twice. But any help from DMOs about which jobs have been filled or no longer available is always useful. But what I wanted to say is that also I get a lot of questions. And people are saying, like, how do I get a job listing into the travel vertical? And I should repeat myself and say, well, you just send me an email. It's free.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, with a service like this, you would think that everybody would take advantage of it. If you're listening and you have a job opening right now, put it in the travel vertical, because this does affect positions getting filled. And we talk about it every week. And most likely we'll talk about your destination at some point if you just get it posted and email Lori.
Yes, indeed. I had an email today from NYC and Company, another one from Miles Partnership. So people are you know, contacting me, which is always super helpful. And then, of course, like I said, well, it's a process. You know, is that job filled? Let us know who filled it so that we can get that person, their name and picture out and connect them to the community as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what else are you seeing out there? What other jobs do you want to highlight?
Yeah, you know, SEO, like new. New is an important word in SEO. So I'm tagging the new jobs. And so people should keep an eye out for that as well in case they don't want to troll through all 200 of these. And don't forget to share them, because maybe you don't want to be the executive director of the North of Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau in Massachusetts, but maybe somebody else does. So let's share these and get those jobs filled. So that is a new one. There's a couple of new ones in New York, as I mentioned. Let's have a quick look at the new ones in New York. A senior B2B marketing manager, a senior copy director, and a sales manager are all new. And then on top of that, there's 6 or 7 more jobs at NYC and Company.
Wow. Okay, that's a big one. Looks like they're looking to beef up their staff. I was interested in one of the ones you sent me because Grand Junction, Colorado is a small DMO, comparatively speaking, especially when New York is the one we were just talking about. They are looking for a business analyst and data scientist. And I don't know a lot of small DMOs with data scientists, and I think it's a really interesting role. And you combine, you know, a big DMO role with the beautiful remote Grand Junction, Colorado. I think that's an interesting role that we've got posted in the travel vertical this week.
Yes, I agree. And I highlighted that one for our conversation today because it sits among another small group of jobs that all have from the DMOs that have that emphasis on whether they call it director of research and intelligence, like they do at Visit Albuquerque, or they say business analyst, or they say data scientist, which are two separate jobs at Visit Grand Junction in Colorado, or, you know, it's digital analytics at Brand USA. You know, that's a category of job that we used to see primarily at the vendors that we're now seeing at the DMOs. And we've, you know, previously flagged sports marketing as a category of position that's been growing. And we've previously discussed diversity, which is a position, you know, type that's growing along with community. So I think it's important to see those trends, which are so easy to see when 200 jobs are grouped on one page every week. So speaking of chief diversity officer, that's exactly the position they're looking for at Destinations International.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting group of jobs that you talk about today. I want to go back to the data related jobs that you mentioned, because with all these new technologies popping up, you know, you've got Uber Media, which rebranded to Near, and then you've got Zartico, and you've got Arrivalist, and you've got so many of these companies that have really sophisticated data for the industry. What I think we're seeing now is the trailer of destinations realizing, okay, I need to utilize one or more of these services, but how do we know which one's the right one for us? And how do we analyze the data that we get from them? How do we, if we're going to pay for it, how do we use it as effectively as possible? It makes a lot of sense that you're starting to see a lot of these positions pop up.
Yes. And, you know, that comes back to the brand foundations of what is the eTourism Summit for, because the eTourism Summit is going to be 23 years old. And, you know, why does it continue to be relevant? And one of the reasons is, you know, that we get the case studies in front of people, and the vendors, together with the DMO, talk about, you know, what they did, what worked, what didn't work. And, you know, it saves a lot of time, it saves a lot of money, and prevents DMOs from making mistakes when they know how to talk to the vendors. So, yeah. You know, if you're going to get those calls from inside the community and you'd like to talk to Uber, well, as you say, they're now called Near Uber Media, but you'd like to talk to them, you'd like to talk to Arrivalist, you'd like to talk to Adara and Miles and Longwoods International and everybody else, but you need to know what you need to have, and you need to spend your money wisely, and you need to know, you know, where do those services complement one another and don't cross over. So you don't just end up getting, you know, a giant list of vendors giving you information that you don't have time to go through.
Right.
So some of them, like Zartico, try to, you know, focus on that and boil that down for you. And, you know, we've talked about Impactulator. I mean, there are more and more right. All the time. So you need to know what your needs are, and you need to know the language, how to talk to those people to get the most out of a meeting. So that's another thing that happens at eTourism Summit.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch that category of jobs grow over time. My guess is that we're seeing the front end of it, and we're going to see a lot of those job titles as time goes on.
Yep, good news for the nerds.
That's right. Well, Lori, anything else you want to talk about today on the show?
Adam, I just want to wish everybody a very happy holiday, and thanks for listening through the year. This is our first year of the Travel Vertical podcast. And the newsletter, of course, is going into its sixth year, I think. And we're triple on the numbers that we had last year in readers, triple. So it's going to hit over 200,000 views this year. And page views, you know, with more than 75,000 monthly readers. So we're really pleased that we seem to be delivering the content that people want to read. But most importantly, just send an email, you know, tell us what's going on, and that will appear in the pages, and we will talk about it on the show.
Yeah, I want to echo that, Lori. First of all, I appreciate you, and you do so much research to try to pull together the news for the industry on a weekly basis in the Travel Vertical newsletter, and then also, of course, on this podcast. You do an incredible job of keeping everybody up to speed, and I appreciate all you do. It's been fun to complete our first year here on the Travel Vertical podcast. And I would encourage anybody that's listening, if you think that there's something you're doing in your organization that's newsworthy, reach out to Lori, because there are such a variety of stories that get featured both on this podcast and in the newsletter. It's just fun to see the news that's happening in the industry every week, and I appreciate all the work you do to make that happen.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Adam, and the feeling is mutual. And I just want to add to that, you know, that's what makes travel and tourism so special. You know, I don't think you'll find McDonald's giving away a great idea to Burger King, you know, on some ad marketing show, you know, but in our industry, people are willing to share, and, you know, we might call it steal this idea, but it's unique, isn't it? And it's that's why it's the best industry to be in. So people are willing to share, and we're all learning, you know, this together, how to do digital marketing is not on too many bookshelves. So we're creating it as we go along.
Absolutely. Well, Lori, thanks for another awesome show. And thanks to all of our listeners. If you're enjoying our content, please make sure that you leave us a rating or a review on whatever app you're using to listen to podcasts. It really helps us grow the show, grow our listenership, and allows us to keep giving you the news every couple weeks.
Perfecto. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Lori. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Adam. Ciao.